Maybe just to start out, though, you could just tell me, when you were born, where you grew up, and sort of a general overview of your connection to
Okay,
Burnaby.
my dad came to Canada in 1910, and as I said, we had the three lots from Gilmore down Napier Street, and there were two other gentlemen came with him, Mr. Robbins, it'll come.
Okay.
But anyways, and so he built this little two-room building, and when Mom came out in 1912 with the two my two older brothers, and she looked at this building and it wasn't exactly what she
But
expected.
where did they come from?
From Wales,
From
from
Wales.
Barrie.
And do you know why they came? Were they
And the usual,
looking
I
for a
mean,
better life?
a better life, and and they had apparently, from what I've heard recently, they apparently had an offer of a good property in Burnaby, and I think they got it for free, from what I understand now. And so they pulled straws, of course, when Dad got the three corner, the three lots closest to the corner. Then, 1914, my oldest brother was born in England in 1910, my second oldest brother is 1912, and my twin brothers were 1914, as I told you, born in my mum's bedroom
Wow.
in North Burnaby.
Born in the bedroom of North Burnaby.
And then the other brother was born in 1915. And so then Dad enlisted in the army, and he enlisted in January of 1916. And left her with this to look after. My youngest brother, the one that's in here, was only about 3 months old when Dad decided he could get a free trip to Britain to see his family. I don't think he gave it a thought that he was going to a war, but he could get a free trip. So, anyways, he left her with the five boys and this two-room place. But the only thing is, it was up on post and it wasn't closed in. And we had bitter cold winters then. Not me, but I mean they
Really?
did. It was tremendously cold. And so, anyways, Mum had to split the shakes to go around the bottom of the building to keep it warm enough for the children. She had young children there. And so she split them. And then he didn't come back till 1919. Then I was born after that, me and my young brother.
So for 3 or 4 years, your mom held the fort.
Birth control.
Birth control. Okay.
He thought of a free trip, she thought of birth control. So it worked. She, but
Great.
I have a tremendous amount of postcards from overseas that Dad sent, and I'm trying to get my nephews to go and give a home to.
And when they first came, what did they busy themselves doing? Clearing land,
Dad was
obviously.
a carpenter and a cabinet maker, and when he came, he said, "Mother," he said, "they use axes." So he was quite horrified by the fact that there wasn't the refinements in the carpenter work. But he had quite a time trying to get work, because even at that time, work was hard to come by. So he tried raising chickens, and the fellow who was in partnership stole the chickens. Then he was down on Pender and Abbott Street. They had a car battery place that they made, and I don't know what happened to that, but there was any amount of things that he got. Then he bought a 1914 McLaughlin Buick, right-hand drive, and he determined that Mum would learn to drive. So they popped the kids into the car, went up to Hastings Street, and she's going down Hastings. She says, "Dad, Dad," she says, "we're going too fast. Where's the brake?" He says, "We're coming to a hill, Mother."
Runaway lane.
So that was driving lessons.
And right-hand drive, so you're on the left-hand side of the road still.
Because that changed 1921.
And that was the year you were born.
Yeah.
1921.
But that was January the 1st, 21, that it changed.
Now, were you also born in your mom's bedroom?
No, I was born in Vancouver General.
Vancouver General, okay.
No, but as I say, with my daughter, in those days, I was on welfare, and it was, I mean, we heard terrible stories about all the hospitals, how they treated you. And if you went to St. Paul's, I mean, the nuns were just drove you crazy. So you didn't go to the hospital. So, anyway, I did have two of them in the hospital. It was wonderful.
Now, you were telling me also about you know, some of the land clearing, looking at the photograph of the stump, so I imagine that
was a large
part of what
you did. Well, you can see she came from a cultured background. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, more than likely was the log that they cut up to make the shade. But look at the trees and all. When you look at the background, I mean, this is 1914. And that all by the time I came along, I never did know this, but you can plainly see it was a tremendous amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a,
big trees,
she
and
was
bushes.
Only 5 feet tall, but she was a tremendous worker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a battler. My second oldest brother had a cord around his ankle, and he got TB in the right foot.
Ooh.
So she battled for him constantly.
Now, you had the big photo of the stump there. I mean, that's quite...
The blasting stump.
The blasting stump. Where's that? That's quite something.
This was the blasting stump. This is the best picture here. But anyway, this was located almost... Although you can't see it here. It was just about here.
Okay.
Because there's Gilmore, there's Napier, and it was just in here. And like we used to take the trail through here to go down to the creek that they dammed up. And so anyways, that was quite the thing.
So again, could you maybe just describe again the photograph? I mean, it's a huge stump with the kids on top.
And it was hollow underneath where they used to store the blasting cap. And then it was our playground. We just...
So had it been blasted or was it left non-blasted?
No, when 1946, when they put the bulldozer in, then over she went.
Okay.
But up until that time, they had only stored the blasting cap before my brother's time.
Mm-hmm.
But
And then the photo on the other side you have there is also quite remarkable. It shows a huge stump with kids playing on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we played on. That was it.
No.
But
no,
as they say,
bars.
When you have it, other people refer to it, they don't call it the blasting stump, but we did because mm-hmm. we knew the history of it.
And you built a little fort at the top.
Yeah, that didn't last too long, but the only thing is, when the enemy came, you might guess what the Brown Johns did for bombs. The enemies got bombed.
That's quite a stump.
So anyways, it isn't commonly known, I don't think, as the blasting stump, but that was how we had it. And then the 160 acres that was there from Gilmore to Willingdon were called, it was the Burns acreage. Pat Burns has the Burns Meat Company, mm-hmm. but this was Dominic Burns, his brother. And he owned, if you ever go down to Georgia and Granville, you see the clock up there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Vancouver block, and Dominic Burns owned it. I have a picture of that clock from the back. We were allowed to go up there because he let us go up there. Anyways, then of course... In 27th of December 1927, then she was left with 7 children to look after. And when he went overseas, she had 3 babies in diapers, and you had to walk 3 blocks to get the water.
Wow.
And of course, there was no electricity or anything like that. But she used to have to go get the water, go and wash.
Wow.
3 babies in diapers.
And your mom sounds like a resourceful, hardworking.
Oh, she was a tiger.
Sort of person.
Because with beloved Burnaby, they fought like heck because they were bringing trucks in to go and do the work. And so she went flying after the counselor and said, "Look, my son lives in Burnaby. He has a Burnaby truck. Now, I expect Burnaby to go and hire him."
Mm-hmm.
You can see that how much property we had here, and you plainly mm-hmm. see we were into cars.
Mm-hmm.
This is Archie here, and this was a trailer this old man brought onto here. But